This is EAA Radio, AM 1210, FM 100.7, and on the web at airventure.org.
Within the overall cost increases, fundraising expenses were up 31%, or $427,000. Expenses for AirVenture 2007 increased by 6%, or $403,000. Member programs and service expenses and other costs of merchandise sales essentially were equal. A little competition there. Were essentially equal to the prior year. Management and general expenses were down 5%, or $304,000. In addition to income and expense activity that I had noted, the EAA Foundation had a $1.2 million decrease in net assets related to permanently restricted donations and performance of its permanently restricted investment assets. As a result of its revenue and expense activity, EAA has had an increase in total net assets for the fiscal year of $1.7 million. A few comments on EAA's financial position or balance sheet. As of February 28, 2008, EAA had total assets of $65.9 million, up $2 million or 3.1% from the prior year. Of this increase, $1.8 million relates to increase in working capital assets, including $2.4 million increase in cash and temporary investments, $510,000 reduction in receivables and inventories. Property and equipment of $23.6 million was up by $761,000, or 3.3%, primarily due to investment initiatives in new systems and the AirVenture master plan development. EAA's long-term investment portfolio stands at $25.6 million, a decrease of $355,000, or 1.4% from the prior year. As of its February 28th year end, EAA had total liabilities of $11.7 million, up marginally from the $11.5 million of the prior year. The increase reflects small increases in accounts payable, accruals, and other operating liabilities. EAA's net assets as of February 28, 2008 were $54.1 million. Let him pass. Were $54.1 million, up $1.7 million, or 3.3%, as a result of fiscal 2008 activities. Of these net assets, $39.1 million, or 72%, are unrestricted as to use. $15 million, or 28%, are either temporarily or permanently restricted. In summary, EAA's financial position continues to be sound. The results of the fiscal 2008 have contributed positively to EAA's financial condition. It was a particularly strong year in terms of operating performance, the delivery of EAA's programs and services. A rather disappointing year in terms of investment performance, with virtually no contribution to net assets due to deteriorating conditions in the investment markets. Looking ahead, EAA will continue to focus on improving the financial strength of the organization to ensure its long-term health and vitality, and ultimately our ability to make valued programs and services available to you, the members. At this time, I'd be pleased to take any questions. There being none, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. At this time, I present my annual report, and I'd like to do it in two parts. One is to talk about EA on a year-round basis, and the other is to talk about EA during this week of Oshkosh 2008. In some regards, it's hard to differentiate the two because this is such an important part of EA's fiber. EA on a year-round basis. Our major focus is in multiple areas. Number one, our chapter program. The chapters are the lifeblood of EAA. It's the extension of what happens here 365 days a year in terms of participation, programs, and volunteerism. We have expended more resources in the chapter area through our chapter leadership workshops and are looking at expanding the structure of the chapter so it can reach out to more members of all ages. The chapters continue to be our number one focus. From a regulatory standpoint, we've been fighting issues and addressing issues on a number of fronts. EAA's advocacy profile is based on proactive advocacy rather than reactive advocacy. We try to stay ahead of the issues before they become problems. is evidenced by the success of the Amateur Bill program. We've operated under those regulations. We've operated under those regulations for over five decades with essentially no change. But currently, what we know as the 51% rule is coming under scrutiny, primarily because of the expansion of the kit industry and the commercialization of building kits. Fortunately, we've been able to preserve and grandfather the existing kits, so there'll be no changes there, but there will be issues to address going forward to ensure that the opportunity to build and innovate will be maintained in the culture of EAA. As with anything, as it matures, changes take place, and that's happening in the home build movement. For those of you who were with us earlier this week, we recognize the certification of the 30,000th home built. 30,000 completed airplanes, 10% of the aviation fleet. Not only has this gotten people into the air, but it's created innovation, high standards, and new concepts and ideas and designs. We want to ensure that the opportunity for innovation is maintained, but also protect the integrity of the 51% rule, which specifies that you, the individual, must build more than half the airplane. In some cases, this has been abused. We want to be sure that the minimal abuse does not take away the privilege for the magnitude or for the majority. Outreach. This has been discussed extensively throughout the week in terms of how do we get more people involved in aviation. I shared with you last year that our pilot population is dwindling. We've gone from 800,000 pilots to 600,000 pilots, 25% loss. You can ask the question, why? Is it a reduction in interest, loss of passion? Neither is true. But what we've seen is the pipeline of pilots that were trained in World War II through the GI Bill and other methods are being lost. They've lost their medicals, they've quit flying, and it's reduced the pilot population significantly. Aviation will not remain vibrant with only 600,000 pilots. So EA has the responsibility and will be held accountable to do all they can to promote participation and learning to fly. You saw it this year through the Learn to Fly Center, through Affordable Flying Center, and the relationship and expanded relationship with NAFI, the National Association of Flight Instructors, the Teachers of Flight. We will be expanding our programs and take on the additional responsibility to grow the pilot population. That takes me to AirVenture Oshkosh, EA 2008. I've shared with many of you throughout the week that the one question I've been asked almost daily for the last 3 or 4 months, as a result of the fuel prices and the economy, will anybody come? Will the attendance be reduced? Will this be a down year? Well, you can see by the response, it's been anything but a down year. Attendance has been outstanding. The interest and enthusiasm is high. And the passion for flight is alive and well. I'll try to, over the next few minutes, answer why I think this happened. Number one, the relationship between members and aviation enthusiasts in this event goes more than just the past 12 months. It's been built over decades of outstanding events, outstanding airplanes, outstanding programs, but most importantly, community. The relationships that many of you have developed with the friends that you've made here. Not local friends, but global friends. This is truly aviation's celebration, aviation's reunion. I'd like to share with you some of the highlights of this week and why people have been here in large numbers and the overall pulse I've received in terms of the attitude of our members, guests, participants, exhibitors, elected officials, bureaucrats, and industry leaders. We started off on Monday with numerous announcements of new products, Icon Aircraft, the Cirrus Jet, and others. Oshkosh is the home of innovation, the place where the industry wants to make their announcements and unveil new products. On Tuesday, Bert Rattan, Will Whitehorn, and Sir Richard Branson with us to talk about the future of personal spaceflight. We were fortunate to have White Knight introduced here just a few years ago, a dream of Bert Rattan. I don't know how many of you remember being with me at Theater in the Woods about 4 or 5 years ago when Bert said, someday I will fly to Oshkosh via space. He's made that dream a reality. Sir Richard, Bert, and Will announced that next year, White Knight 2 will come to Oshkosh to be introduced publicly. And hopefully below White Knight 2 will be Spaceship 2. And Bert's dream is to release Spaceship 2 and have it glide in and land at Oshkosh 2009. Be outstanding. Next year, we're also going to have Reunion of the Concord. How many of you were here in 1985 when Concord came for the first time? It changed how Oshkosh was viewed by the aviation world. And next year, we're going to recognize that by bringing back the Cruise of Concord and inviting all those who flew on Concord at Oshkosh to come and be a part of our alumni that will be recognized. Also next year, we're going to focus on mission aviation, the humanitarian good works of those who fly airplanes globally, supporting people in need. Three outstanding programs else headline next year's event. On Wednesday, we had the largest crowd ever at Theater in the Woods. You might ask, was it a designer? Was it a government official? No, it was a comedian. An outstanding comedian, Jeff Dunham, who's built two rotorcraft. The crowd went all the way back to Vintage Headquarters into the second row of airplanes and Vintage Camping. 10,000 people came to Theater in the Woods. On that night, just to show the evidence of the multitude of activities, on Wednesday night, 500 chapter leaders at a reception, 1,000 young Eagle pilots at a reception, 10,000 people at Theater in the Woods to see Jeff Dunham, 6,000 people at the Fly-In Movie Theater to see Harrison Ford introduce Indiana Jones, hundreds of people at the International Visitors Reception at the Theater in the Woods, or at the Nature Center. I say this, and the fact is this is just a small microcosm of what takes place at this event. This year at Oshkosh, over 1,200 activities. 1,200 activities. We had former Administrator Marion, FAA Administrator Marion Blakey, Acting Administrator Bobby Sturgill, NASA Administrator Michael Griffith, heads of state from various countries in terms of their aviation policy and leadership. Oshkosh is the place where the world comes for 1 week. Over 75 countries represented. Our international participation is up 50%, 5-0. And to a certain extent, you can thank the American dollar for that. But this is truly a global, global event. Number of homebuilds attending, up. Number of warbirds participating, up. Number of vintage aircraft participating, up. North 40, full and closed to aircraft camping earlier in the week. The vehicle campsite, up in attendance. The overall convention, up in every aspect. EA is a significant responsibility. We are truly the passion, the culture, and the emotion. How do you describe EAA? How do you describe the culture? Many people join an organization for the tangible benefits, the magazine, the activities, insurance benefits, finance benefits, the list goes on and on. Those are important reasons because they affect your pocketbook, they can affect your ability to fly, and so forth. Another important aspect is advocacy. What is your you want your organization to represent you in Washington, at the state level, the regional level, and the local level. EA does a strong and commendable job in the advocacy area. But the thing that truly differentiates this organization is the intangible, which is hard to describe. It's the culture, the relationships, the passion. I express it because it's reality. This year, and I travel the grounds extensively, day in and day out, morning, noon, and night, the overall attitude of our members, our guests, and the aviation enthusiasts is the best that I've ever seen. They're happy, they're pleased to be here, and it's interesting. If you take the spectrum of those members who've been here 20, 25, 30 years, who make this their annual trip to Mecca, they never want to miss it. And for those who've come the first time, their comment is, I will never miss it again. Oshkosh is something you have to experience as the essence of EAA. Our exhibitors and partners, I'd like to talk to them in two different ways. The exhibitors have become an important part of the Oshkosh experience. I relate back to the days in Rockford in the early 1960s when my dad headed up the organization. In those early days, we did not have any exhibitors or commercial vendors. They were invited to bring their wares at no charge, free of charge, and nobody came. Then one day he had the idea to charge a fee, and exhibitors came. interesting perspective, but there was a perceived value when it was free versus when you charged. And from those small beginnings, we've grown to the point today we have over 780 exhibitors at Oshkosh, from the fly market to home builders to kit suppliers to avionics and technology to airframers. The number of exhibitors has grown, but it's also the place where they meet their customers, where they bring their engineers to see the latest in design innovation. It's become an important part of the Oshkosh experience. We also have partners. Some will say having partners makes it too commercial. You see their signs in the grounds and so forth. What the partners do is make it possible for our members to participate at an extremely, extremely affordable price. Think about this. To experience one day at Oshkosh, $23. What does it cost for a movie, for a ticket to a baseball game, a football game, or any other sporting event or recreational activity? The value you receive from Oshkosh, which is a 24-hour experience for $23, is unparalleled. And the reason that happens is a couple. Number one, the extensive volunteer network of people who give up their time and their money to volunteer and lead this effort. 6,000 volunteers, over 600 volunteer chairmen, and members who share their airplanes with others. I'd like to give you an example of that. In the Warbird area, if you're down that area, there's a beautiful P-51, silver and black. It was parked right near the front or the west side of the Warbird area. A father and son from West Virginia brought this beautiful airplane, and throughout the week had stairs next to the airplane that you could walk up and sit in the cockpit of a P-51. Over 2,000 people have done that to date. Just an example, how many people would take their beautifully restored airplane, open it to the public, let people climb in it, and sit in it? The other thing that they did I thought was remarkable is they had a sign on it. What do most signs say on beautifully restored airplanes? Do not touch. This one said, touch me gently. Just examples of people willing to share the experience. And that's just one story of many. One other I'd like to share with you. I shared it last night at an event. It's an example of the impact of Oshkosh is KidVenture. How many of you had a chance to go through KidVenture and see it? If you haven't done it, do it. 22,000 kids will go through KidVenture this week. They gain experience in hands-on activities, flight simulation, guest speakers, logbook development entry, focus and accomplishment. Oshkosh truly touches and reaches all spectrums of the aviation community of all ages. As we conclude, this year's event, for me personally, I've been chairman since the mid-1970s, will be one of the finest ever. We've had events where we've had more singular spectacular attractions, the Concorde, Salute to Apollo, but we've never had the depth and breadth of participation in programs that we've had at this year's event, whether it's the forums area, evening programs, flight line activities, air show, innovations, and new designs. This is truly aviation's home. When we moved the convention here in 1970, we never envisioned it would become what it is today. In 1982, we broke ground for the EAA Aviation Center and headquarters. Our goal at that time was to make Oshkosh the year-round home of aviation. That vision has been reached. Now our goal is to have Oshkosh come into the homes of our members and aviation enthusiasts 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. That vision will be shared with you over the next year, and next year look forward to presenting to you Oshkosh 365. Thank you. I'd like to announce the following, that the minutes of all directors' meetings held since the last annual membership meeting be available at the podium for any members who wish to review the same. And I ask for the following resolution to be approved. Resolved that all acts, decisions, and proceedings by the Board of Directors of the Experimental Aircraft Association since the last annual membership meeting and the annual report presented by the President of the Association be approved and ratified. Is there a motion? Motion made. Second. Discussion? All in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carried. At this time, I'll ask if there's any old business. If there's any old business to be discussed, there's a microphone in the center aisle. Please come to the microphone, identify yourself, and express your question for old business. If there's no old business, I ask for any new business. Anything new to be brought before the annual membership meeting of the Experimental Aircraft Association. If there's not any new business, we will ask for a certificate of report of the election by the inspectors when they have concluded their ballot certification. I would ask if Louis Andrew could check with the inspectors to see what the status is, please. Might mention while we're waiting for the ballot certification, one thing that I've had more comments on that's become the icon for the convention site is the new tower. It's meet me at the tower, and if you can't find the current FAA tower, you're going to be lost on this site forever. Anybody that can sing or dance like to come up here? Don't go there. Okay, at this time I'd like to call upon Emery Swinney to give the certificate and report of inspectors of the election.
Good morning. This is the certificate and report of inspectors of the election. The undersigned, the duly appointed inspectors of election at the annual meeting of members of the Experimental Aircraft Association held on August 2nd, 2008, do hereby certify that we have received and counted the votes of members cast in person or by proxy for the election of directors of the association and report that the following persons received the number of votes set opposite their respective names. Class 1 director, this will be a 3-year term, Richard Beatty, 20,552. Norm DeWitt, 20,553. Jeffrey G. Downing, 22. Mal Gross, 20,548. Richard Hansen, 20,552. Daniel A. Micah, 20,583. Alan Ritchie, 20,585. Don Taylor, 20,586. Kerman Weeks, 20,586. Thomas J. Whitman, 13. John Handes, 1. The following individuals have been selected: Richard Beatty, Norm DeWitt, Mel Gross, Richard Hansen, Daniel A. Micah, Alan Ritchie, Don Taylor, and Kerman Weeks. In witness whereof, we have made this certificate and have hereunto set our hands the second day of August 2008. Inspector Mary Kroppel, Inspector Wes Smith, and Inspector Emery Swinney. Thank you.
With the completion of the election, I'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you for participating.